Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beginning November 13th, brighten your holidays at the Disneyland Resort during the Diamond Celebration. Sail into a small world holiday and catch the Paint the Night Parade after dark at Disneyland Park. Over at Disney California Adventure Park, enjoy the festive World of Color Winter Dreams and cruise into wacky holiday fun in Cars Land. The happiest place on earth just got merrier.
Set a toss. Anderson, he'll get it. And plenty more. CJ Anderson is going to go all the way. And the Denver Broncos win the game.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Now, it is the most wonderful time of the year for obvious reasons. Skeeter wakes me up this morning with the news that the Panthers are now the only remaining undefeated football team in America.
How about it?
But it is a wonderful time of year for yet another reason. My wife of 33 years, Skeeter, joins us.
Well, first off, today is Matthew's birthday.
Nice. Oh, happy birthday.
But the most exciting news is that Matthew and Eleni are engaged.
Nice.
Yay, that's a big mazel tov.
That's huge.
Yeah, we've been... Andy, I got a story that you're going to absolutely love connected with this. But we've known that it was going to happen for a while. We just didn't know when.
Yep.
Matt was waiting for the absolute right time. The pressure got to him. He walked out into the kitchen in his pajamas. Eleni was making coffee half awake, and he did it.
In her pajamas.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about bad timing. But
now, wait a second. What was it supposed to be?
He was going to do like a dinner or a thing, and
right,
the pressure got to him.
Oh,
and
that's so adorable.
That's great.
He had to get it over with. But a story that I've been holding for a while, and Andy, you're going to love this, because as I say, my dumbass, I never try to screw it up. It just naturally happens.
It's your superpower.
Like,
yeah.
It is. So this is about 6 months ago. Matt comes back from New Jersey where he was visiting with Eleni, and he comes outside. I'm sitting out there having a cigar. It's in the afternoon, and he tells me that on his trip to Jersey that he asked Eleni's father for her hand. Then 10 minutes later, Eleni comes out standing next to Matt, and I said, "So I heard the great news."
Oh, my God. No. We almost killed him.
No.
And she says, "What great news?" And I said, "Matt asked your dad for your hand." Matthew is staring a hole. She didn't know.
Yes.
That is great.
Man.
Great.
Oh, you're gonna have to write them a big check for this wedding present.
All right, now, I'll give you the... hang on. So I'll run down what the show is today in a minute. When we come back, it is Matthew's birthday, and I want to share a story that I think you're all going to get a kick out of. Once again, my dumb ass, I never try. It just happens, and it's nothing but my fault. So I'll share that in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. Now, I play Journey for a reason. As we said before the break, today is Matthew's birthday. Matthew, our firstborn, is 29 years of age.
Wow. That's right, people. We're old.
Yeah, yeah. And we're one step closer to a grandbaby now. So taking you back to the weekend of Matthew's birth, it was a Saturday, and the Auburn-Alabama game was happening, and I went.
We lived in Birmingham.
Now, Linda was ready to pop at any time.
Linda was late.
Yeah, you were late.
Yes.
Like 2 weeks.
And you were carrying around a beeper.
Yeah, pager. I had a pager. This was before cell phones.
Right.
So I have a pager.
It's 1986?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. 86.
You tell everyone you're a doctor because you had a pager.
And so we go to the game, and I left the pager in the car.
Oh, I don't need this.
Like I would.
I'm going to put this in the car.
And so me and two other guys are at the game together, and somebody brought in a bunch of scotch, and we got frickin' plowed. Meanwhile, my pager's going off in the car because Linda's in labor.
Yes.
So then I get out of the game, and instead of going to the car, there was a lady who was making barbecue ribs, and we stood in line to go into her house. walk through the back door into her kitchen where her sons fill the plate with ribs and the bread and the whatever, and then we sit down and plow through that. I then get home about 8, and I am wasted. Linda tells me that she is in labor, and I did what any self-respecting future father would do. I went straight to bed.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So I am in labor all night long while drunk Mark is sleeping it off.
So
then he gets up. He's got a hangover. And he's like, oh, I've got to take the dogs to the kennel. And I looked at him. I'm like, okay, honey, I will have this baby whenever you're ready for me to have it.
So I get the dogs to the kennel. We drive to the hospital. Linda then gives birth. By the way, it was an emergency C-section, an umbilical cord wrapped around his throat.
Yeah.
His neck, yeah.
Nothing to be concerned about.
Right.
No.
Emergency C-section. So we had him about 2 that afternoon, and I had an appearance that night. I had to introduce Journey.
It's getting worse.
That's why you're playing this song. I was thinking about that this morning.
So I went to the venue, packed. I was wearing scrubs from the hospital, and I explained to the audience before I introduced Steve Perry and Journey why, and the audience at the Journey concert sang Happy Birthday, Matthew.
Oh, while Mark cried like a big old baby.
And I've got videotape of it somewhere.
Yep.
That's I'd like to see that.
And Journey comes up behind him, dude.
Would you mind?
We got a show to do.
We hate to bother you.
Could you move this along?
Well, happy birthday, Matthew, son.
Yeah.
Nice.
Happy birthday. So, one quick thing, and I'll tell you what the show is. So, this weekend, I'm watching my Panthers, and I got to say, I've always said, these guys who set the line for these games, they really know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always respected that. But I didn't understand why Dallas was favored by 1 in this Carolina game, and the game wound up going exactly as I thought it would. We beat the crap out of them. Tony Romo wasn't ready. He was throwing passes. We had 3 picks, 2 of them pick 6.
Yeah.
And so Linda and I are out on the pier, and I forgot to stretch. Because I'm that fan, whenever something good that my Panthers are doing, I jump up and run with the guy. So Luke picks off the first Romo pass. Right. I jumped up from my chair and went straight down to the floor.
It was hysterical.
I have hurt my left hip by watching a football game.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Now.
Well, that's what happens, you know. Tomorrow's your day.
That's
tomorrow,
right.
You are 60.
Yeah. You start.
It's just craziness around here.
You start having hips go out.
It's just so exciting.
What's that?
You start having hips go out when you get to be 60.
It's my fault. I forgot to stretch. I should have known. But yes, tomorrow is my 60th birthday.
Woo!
Skeeter and the girls, Amy's in town. And so they took me out to a pre-birthday dinner at Del Frisco's. A beautiful, wonderful. In fact, when we were in there last time, Greg Olson walked into the room. He's our tight end.
Tight end of the Panthers. Yeah.
And it was decorated for Christmas. It was great.
He walked right by our table and Linda looked at me and says, "You don't say a word. Nothing." So anyway, we're there and we're eating. And the guy that's serving us, I said to him, "Hey, how about those Panthers?" And
wait. Are we back at Friday night?
We're back at the dinner at Del Frisco's.
All right.
And so the waiter's there and I said, "How about those Panthers?" And he said, "Well, actually, I'm a Dallas fan." And I, having no sympathy whatsoever, said, "Well, you're walking pretty good for a guy who got his ass kicked."
Wow.
Yeah. He really appreciated it.
And then
that.
He spat in your food.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, "Please spit only in his food."
All right. Quickly, the show today. Oh, Skeeter's got to get out of here.
I got to go.
She's going to get a mani-pedi.
Yeah, you know the routine before we go out of town. Hair. Eyebrows, mani-pedi.
Nice, and she's got on her mani-pedi pants.
Yes, I do. Bye-bye.
See you, Skeeter.
Okay, so today we speak with Michael Palin. We have Disney ticket giveaways, family 4-packs. The first one's at 7. If you plan to win these tickets, you must be listening at 7 for the password, the party password. You got to have it. We have the players are assembling. We have an itty-bitty theater. John O'Hurley is in the room. A rousing round of who said it. I will give you a quote. You have to decide who said it, and I'll have to wind up giving you hints. We'll open the phones for that. Whoever says it gets anything they want from the booty box. And a nice round of you hate to hear it.
Oh, God. Awesome.
It's a Monday. Everybody grab a hold. On the other side, let's find out what was big at the box office. That is in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. In the box office, the Hunger Games gobbled up the Thanksgiving box office. Do you see what they did? $51.6 million. Amy and Katie went.
Ooh.
Not so much.
Huh?
Pixar's The Good Dinosaur came in second, taking 39. Did you like it?
It was really good. It was really good. And the animation, Gina, was astounding. We can talk about it at length another time. I thought all of the animation was brilliant.
Like the landscape was
the blades of grass were incredible. Weird choice to make the dinosaurs so cartoony. But otherwise, I thought it was a good movie.
Creed premiered in third with $30.1 million.
How good was he?
Apollo, yeah, he was great. He's a perfect fighter. Ain't nobody ever better.
So how'd you beat him?
Time beat him. Time, you know, takes everybody out. It's undefeated. Anyway, I got a lot
of. So when
up.
Mickey died, he came and talked to you, right? Talked you out of quitting. Took you to L.A., trained you, brought you back.
How do you know all this?
How do you think?
What are you, like a cousin?
He's my father.
I'm pumped. I mean, it's 95% fresh.
Wow. I'd like to see it.
And I hear Sylvester is fantastic.
Yeah.
In it.
I'd like to see it. Who's the kid in it? Who's the...
Is it Michael B. Jordan or the other one? I think Mikey saw it.
Mikey?
Didn't he?
Then we'll get his opinion after Mike TV.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, do you mind if I just wanted to say one thing? I listened to your earlier breaks. You're talking about your Panthers and congratulations, well deserved. I just wanted to know if I could say one little thing.
Sure.
I can't get it to play. No,
Andy, there is a controversy.
There's a controversy
on the. Yeah, I mean, there is. There's two of them. And we'll discuss those on the other side of Mr. David Bowie. Plus, Mikey has a Mike TV. Right now, we're talking changes, bitch. This is Mark in the Morning.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And I watched a lot over the weekend. But Carly Simon was on. Wow, that is loud, Andy. Carly Simon. she was on Stephen Colbert, and Stephen was begging her to play to sing Mockingbird, but not by herself, a duet, and he got her to do it. Play it, Mark.
Did you have a favorite song to sing with James Taylor?
I don't know. What's your favorite?
Well, I mean, I know you guys did Mockingbird together.
Yes, we tried our best. I mean, James was really, he was wonderful.
Can we try it?
Oh, no.
Please?
Oh, my God. Do you know it?
No, what's the note? Can you...
That's good right there.
Mock.
Yeah.
Aim.
Yeah.
Bird.
Yeah.
That song sucks, by the way.
Yeah, pretty terrible.
That's a big pile of suck.
Yeah. I thought she was going to reveal that Mark was the one that was so vain, but I guess not. There's your Mike TV.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Now, Mikey, you put it together for Creed this weekend, correct?
Yeah. Awesome. It was so freaking great. Very much like Rocky One, the underdog, the no name going up against the champ. The story, like all Rockies, it's the story that leads to the fight.
Mm.
And so many
set up for a sequel.
Oh yeah, no question. If it does well, there will be. Very much
was Sylvester impressive?
Yeah, he was great. He very much like the Mickey role. In the first couple of Rockies.
Rocky loves you. Did he say that?
Come on, Rock. You gotta do it, Rocky. Come on. Rock.
Yeah. There were so many scenes that were like the first one, with the like trying to chase the chicken and the training scenes and Michael B. Jordan, who played Creed, running through the streets of Philadelphia with the music in the background.
You mean there was a montage?
Yes.
Oh, there better be.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
But Stallone was awesome. I mean, he... probably his best acting I've seen. I mean,
wow.
Rare that he...
Wow.
Better than Rambo?
Better than Rambo, yeah.
You feel like there could be a nomination in there for him? Supporting?
I don't think a nomination, but I do think the movie itself potentially.
I think it'll be a cold day in hell before Sylvester Stallone gets any sort of Oscar nod.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that, you know, it was good for Sylvester. It wasn't good for the Academy, I would say, you know.
Okay.
But I think the movie itself could potentially have maybe a screenwriting nomination, for sure.
Wasn't Rocky rewarded in some way?
Yeah. Best Picture.
Best Picture, yeah.
But not Sly.
Yeah. He even said, actually, he was on, I think, Colbert last week and said that it was the wrong decision for them to choose him to play Rocky in Rocky 1. But
it was his movie.
But yeah, but he didn't have the casting, or he wasn't the producer. So yeah. He thought they made a mistake by casting him. But it worked out, obviously.
Wow.
Gina, you were told to share a quote with me.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you're going to know what this means. I don't know what this means, but I was talking to a friend of yours over the weekend, and he said, "Hey, tell Mark, looking good, 21. Does that mean anything to you?
Okay. Years ago, I had a trainer named Brian Spizzato. And Brian was about as ripped as a person can get without taking in performance. He was clean. And so he would go to these bodybuilding shows that are for guys who do not use steroids. And in the month prior, 7 times a day, he would eat nothing but a can of tuna and an apple. And that got him just ripped. And so he went to one of these shows, apparently. And then he shows up for my workout, and he shows me a videotape of him on the stage, tanned and oiled up, and he's flexing his muscles.
Right.
And one of the guys in the audience, which, by the way, this is such a gay thing to begin with, one of the guys yells out, "Looking good, 21! And Brian was number 21. I laughed for years. I'm still laughing. "Looking good, 21! Good God." And so that is why that quote is hysterical.
Yeah, that's a good quote.
That's awesome.
Speaking of that, Linda and I, we went to Nordstrom. I've got this radio convention coming up on Friday that I've been invited to be in and speak. And so I needed to get
second billing it.
Yeah. Second billing. All right. Yeah. The kids got the first
YouTube
name.
Yeah.
So we go in, and I got some jeans. I got a black dress shirt. I got several things. And in the men's department, this guy helped me out. Now, here's my observation, and I'm not dissing. I'm really not. I could walk into Nordstrom and throw 10 rocks and not hit a straight guy. That's just what it is. But listen, they're great. These gay men.
Oh, by all means, keep going.
They are fantastic with fashion. And it doesn't matter.
This just in.
Yeah, I mean, they really, because like I went in and I said, I showed him the coat that I had, a suit. I showed it to him. And I said, I was thinking of a black dress shirt, wearing jeans, this coat, and then a black tie. And he goes, "No, we're not doing a tie. We're going to go open collar. Ooh. You said it's a radio convention. You're a radio person. That's not really something that screams tie to me." And I did exactly what he said.
Nice.
I just went with it.
And how do you look?
Awesome.
Good.
Nothing but I'm Nordstrom. Do you know that if you buy something from Nordstrom and for any reason you don't like it,
take it back.
You take it back and they accept it.
They give you, that's why, like buying sunglasses and stuff, you're going to pay $300 for a pair of sunglasses there. But if you wear them for a month and decide, I don't want them, you can take them back and they'll take them back. So you pay extra for people to kind of kiss your ass a little bit.
For those of you that missed the USC-UCLA game, Slash played the national anthem with the USC Trojan Marching Band.
Awesome.
If you missed it, I will share that with you in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. So if you missed the USC-UCLA game this past weekend, Slash performed with the USC Marching Band. Here's a piece. Now, he's been isolated. You can barely hear the band behind him. And I was watching the video. He has such an iconic look with the tennis shoes that he wears, obviously the hat, the sunglasses, and the hair. I mean, it's just iconic.
Yeah, he's like a monochromatic black leprechaun.
Let's find out what's trending. Here's Miss Gina Grant.
Well, Sinead O'Connor has been found safe and is receiving medical treatment after overdosing and putting up a suicide note on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a new viral trend called the Condom Challenge that's supposed to raise awareness about safe sex. You basically record yourself dropping a condom full of water over somebody's head, and it's actually hilarious. We will have it up at Mark in the Morning Facebook to take a look at that. And here's what's trending in sports. Kobe Bryant is officially retiring from basketball. He made it official by way of a poem called Dear Basketball on a site called the Players Tribune. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Monty Python's Michael Palin. But first, a little ZZ Top. This is Mark in the Morning.
Hello!
Hello? Who is it?
It is King Arthur, and these are my knights of the Round Table. Whose castle is this?
This is the castle of my master, Guido Luamba.
Go and tell your master that we have been charged by God with a sacred quest.
Joining us now from Monty Python is Michael Palin. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Now, Michael has a new book. This is the third volume, Traveling to Work, Diaries from 1988 through 1998. Tell us a bit about the book, Michael.
Well, as you say, it's the third of a volume of diaries. It begins very much in a state of uncertainty because I'm doing a totally new piece of work, which is a documentary travel series, which I've been offered by the BBC, and I like the idea of it very much, and I go off traveling, and I suddenly realize, my God, it's not going to be as easy as that. We've got 6 hours of television to fill. It's all on my shoulders. How am I going to get through this? So it starts with a lot of doubt, and then it goes, it all turns out to work very well, and I get offered two more series, and in between, I'm trying to sew in movies like A Fish Called Wanda and a movie of my own called American Friends. I'm also writing a play for the West End in London. I'm writing a first novel. Mm. It's just me at the age of about 50 trying to do everything I possibly can before I get too old to do it.
So, Michael, when I get a chance to speak to a creative like yourself, I'm always interested in your work ethic. When you're sitting down to, say, write a script, do you pretty much know exactly where you want it to go?
Well, it just depends. When I was writing Monty Python material, the great thing was not to know where it was going to go. Just it was very much a kind of spontaneous whatever came into your head. And don't get too restricted by beginning, middle, and end. If it's a fragment of comedy, Python will be able to take it. So that was very loose. If I'm writing a longer piece of work, and certainly if I'm writing a novel, I like to have a bit of a plan. I do like to feel when I start the day that, you know, this is where I have to go by the end of that day. But you mustn't get discouraged, because some days nothing happens at all. Your brain freezes up. Other days you write three times as much as you ever expected.
You know, I would say, and I'll see if you can concur, the British sense of humor of Monty Python was huge in the States because we had never seen anything like that. Would you agree?
I think so. We tried to sell it to America through commercial television, and it just didn't really work. And I think in the end, the people who first enthused America with Monty Python was actually Dallas Public Broadcasting Station in Texas, and they saw something in it which was completely and utterly at odds with anything they'd seen on American television. And it was risque, and it was a bit naughty, but it was quite fun, and it wasn't being, you know, it wasn't nasty, it wasn't unpleasant, it was just very silly. And I think they loved it because it was utterly different from anything on American television. And so maybe we should have tried that from the very start, instead of trying to pretend we got something which was just, you know, which Americans would immediately like. We had to possibly go for the fact that they would find it foreign and strange, and that's why they'd love it.
Michael, didn't it start off as a mid-season replacement for a travel show? The Monty Python, when you got your first season?
The first Monty Python? No, we were put on very late at night, and very often taken off if BBC had another longer program which overran. They had a program called Horse of the Year Show, which is a big thing in England, and that was always on a Saturday evening, and for some reason the horses didn't go fast enough and the whole thing took longer, and so they used to stop, bite them, take it off. You know, most of the British public didn't care a damn, but those who were who had picked up Python were very indignant and became our cult audience.
The new book is called Traveling to Work Diaries from 1988 to 1998. The reviews are that it is hysterical. Michael, thank you so much for not only the time you spent this morning, but your body of work. We're better people for it.
Thank you so much. That's very kind. Thanks a lot.
The best to you, Michael. On the other side of Eric Clapton, I have a story about my dumbass and my Polaroid camera.
Oh,
I'm
no.
going to share that with you. As I say, my intentions are always good. This is Lay Down Sally, and this is Mark in the Morning. Eric Clapton on Mark in the Morning. I'm going to save my Polaroid story for tomorrow. I have to do it in the early hour. I don't want to traumatize the kids. But we have not talked about our Thanksgivings. Gina, well, by the way, something she's going to share is that during the commercial breaks, Red, the radio hound, is asleep right behind me, and I get down there and love on him. And one of the things I say to Red is, I'm going to beat the crap out of you in a loving kind of way.
Yeah.
And I don't say crap. I say the S word. So, Gina, your Thanksgiving, please.
I wasn't going to say this part, but yeah, now I will. So I had the whole family over to Tim's house. And when I say whole family, I mean my family. So God bless you, Tim. We just love you to death. Mom, dad, brother, cousins, the whole vibe. And Tim!
Wow.
Yeah, great guy. And so we did that, have had my mom in town, which was great. Went to the Kings game, saw them annihilate the Blackhawks, which was great. And yeah, so at Thanksgiving, I love Tim's dog. It's a little cockapoo. He's 12 years old. He's just a tiny little fluff ball. And I'm down there and I'm petting him and I say, I'm going to beat the out of you. And they go, what? And I was like, well, that's what Mark says to his dog. They were horrified. So no more imitating Mark at the table. But otherwise, great time. Like, again, went to the Kings game, showed my mom downtown, went to the Grand Central Market. Just a big packed Julie the Cruise Director weekend.
Well, real quickly, we went to a restaurant and Linda came down and she had dressed up. And I was just going to wear this. But I went upstairs and put on a suit.
Oh.
We went. The food was the best I have ever had at Thanksgiving. And Linda had a wine and I had a scotch and it's noon. And it was Amy and Katie. We got those uncontrollable giggles where, you know, you're crying. Mm. That kind of laughter.
So
we just
great.
Had the best one. Andrew.
I had a great weekend as well. Our buddy Pat at Bristol Farms hit me up with some goodies.
Mm,
and it was really, really good. And then on Friday or on Thursday, the day itself, we actually took a hike. We go up into Fryman Canyon, and Silas loved it so much. He says, "I want to do this again tomorrow." So we did on Friday. We went up there tomorrow, and I've got to tell you, I really just getting up there with nature and people who feel like they need to play music loudly on a hike. But this is nothing like the majestic beauty of the Santa Susana Mountains, overlooking the lovely San Fernando Valley, and hearing a little Nicki Minaj to go with that. It's
it's the worst.
And turn it up loud enough that you have to shout over it.
Jackie, anything at all to report?
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever shared a Thanksgiving with a significant other.
Oh,
so it was a little rough. My family is rough and playful, just like we are here at the show, and my boyfriend is too, but just not to the extent of like, yeah, let's take him in the backyard and beat his ass, you know, type of stuff.
Oh my god, who didn't have a threatening assault this week?
Seriously, my family is so harsh; it's hilarious, but you know, a little scary if you're a newcomer. So it was interesting to say the least.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, I could tell that when I think it was your mom and your aunt on the phone.
Yeah.
And I asked them about their rack and I was mortified. I was worried. They just jumped right in. I could hang with your family all day, every day.
That was the nice side. They met another side. They're just like you.
It's time for these 2 feet to jump into Andrew's Classic Rock Time Capsule, brought to you by Bristol Farms, now taking holiday meal orders online at bristolfarms.com.
It's time to open Andy's Classic Rock Time Capsule.
Thank you, Dr. Hawking. It is Andy's Classic Rock Time Capsule for Monday, November the 30th, 2015. All right, so here's a quiz for you. Today in 1972, Paul McCartney and Wings release a song that's banned by the BBC. Now, we've learned that the BBC doesn't take much to have something need to be banned by them. But what is the song? Is it Hell and Wheels, Live and Let Die, Hi, 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 Let Me Roll It, or Give Ireland Back to the Irish? What's the song that they can't abide? Speaking of Irish, did you know that the name Crosby means dweller of the farm near the cross? Yeah. Apropos nothing really, but Bing Crosby does air his 42nd and final Christmas special on CBS on this night in 1977. It's actually after he had passed away. And this is the one where he and David Bowie duet on Little Drummer Boy.
They told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, a newborn king to see,
but quite possibly the greatest holiday song recorded.
Yeah, it's nice. It's something that Bowie says he only does because me mum liked him. And here's what I imagine the phone call sounded like when Bing called to invite him. Hey, Bing the boy, hey, boy, I'm a little drummer boy, ba, 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 ba. Okay, so yesterday we marked the 14th anniversary of the passing of George Harrison. You're Miss George. And this story is one of the reasons why you're missed.
One, two, three.
You know how much George despised the tax man, right? Wrote a song about it. Well, we find out 13 years ago today in court papers that George had put his $155 million fortune into a trust for his wife and son. By doing so, George boxes out the tax man on around $62.5 million in estate taxes. Isn't that awesome? One of the last actions he does before he shakes off his mortal coil is stick it to the tax man. That's absolutely great. Weird story happens 15 years ago today. A freak accident. Loverboy bass player Scott Smith is sailing just off San Francisco with some friends when a 26-foot wave crashes over the deck, sweeps him out to sea in shark-infested waters.
Oh.
If I get to pick the way I go, that will not, in fact, be it. I got birthdays today to celebrate. Billy Idol turns 60. Shuggy Otis, guy right here, 62 today. Roger Glover of Deep Purple and Rainbow is 70. And Dick Clark would have been 86. Okay, so back to the quiz. Today in 1972, Paul McCartney and Wings release a song that's banned by the BBC. Is it Hell and Wheels, Live and Let Die, Hi, 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 Let Me Roll It, or Give Ireland Back to the Irish? Mark.
It's going to be between Hi, Hi, Hi and Let Me Roll It because of the obvious drug. I'm going to say Hi, Hi, Hi.
All right, I'm going to say Give Ireland Back to the Irish.
I think those are good guesses. But in fact, the answer is Hi, Hi, Hi. Come on, are you serious? But because of a vague insinuation of marijuana use, the BBC bans this song. They say the lyrics are unsuitable for broadcast. Hold on. Let's just look at the lyrics for a second. Okay. I want you to lie on the bed, get you ready for my polygon. I'm gonna do it to you, gonna do ya, sweet banana, you've never been done. Yes, like a rabbit, gonna grab it, gonna do it till the night is... Okay, that's some freaky deaky stuff right there. But we're not afraid to let Wings play us out on the Classic Rock Time Capsule. And you are listening to Mark in the Morning.
All right, so I've got my script. Now, again, if you're planning on winning a family four-pack of tickets, Katie's here. If you're planning, and she's a whirlwind.
I'm ready.
This girl's had coffee.
I'm ready.
So if you're planning on winning a family four-pack at any point today, you have to be here for the super secret birthday password, which is seconds away. We pause for legal identification. This is Mark in the Morning. I am putting together the guest list for my birthday party at Disneyland Resort on December the 8th, and I want you to be there. Plus, you get to bring three people to enjoy the wonder of the holidays at Disneyland Resort. They're really doing it right this year because it's part of Disneyland Resort's Diamond Celebration. We'll hang out all day, ride the rides, catch the Christmas Fantasy Parade, and stuff our faces. Then we make everybody else leave, and that's when the party begins.
But Mark! To get an invitation, They have to know today's secret password.
I will now.
The reason Andy does that is there's an exclamation point, so Andy really gives
and
it
an ellipsis. Yeah, there's a pause.
Also an ellipsis.
Yeah. All right. I think I read that properly.
All right
we pick back up with Gina.
I will now reveal the super secret password.
Are you okay? Do you need a lozenge?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm
spray?
Just building suspense.
Okay, got it.
No, don't do it yet. First, let's give everybody time to get something to write this on. I hold in my right hand a black Sharpie. I will now write the password on Katie's left big toe. You ready, Katie?
Okay. Ready, Dad.
Gina, she got up to come down and do that.
Wait, can I at least show her what I would have done with that line?
Yes.
Okay, Mark, give me that line again. Just the very end.
Are you ready, Katie?
Ready, Dad.
Gina, yep. What is today's super secret birthday party password?
Today's password is history.
Hmm. Andy, use it in a sentence.
Mark tells us what happened on this day in history.
History is the password. You gotta know it. Danny, fly in Tinkerbell, the official Mark in the Morning helicopter with the phone number that we're going to be calling.
All right, and while that's happening, I'll mention that this phone number was given to us on markinthemorning.com. Careful, Tink, careful! Give us your phone number and we might call you. All our Mark in the Morning Network listeners in California are eligible.
Pixie dust!
All right, Jackie.
All right, so...
What area code are we calling?
The 323.
Ooh!
Local.
Little Hollywood.
Montebello.
Let me do that one more time, okay?
Okay.
What happened?
A man came on the phone, but it was something weird. It wasn't an answering machine or something.
I love that. Jackie, Thanksgiving at her house. We're going to take you out in the backyard and beat your ass.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys.
What are you thankful for?
And it wasn't just like once. It was like four times.
Oh, my.
That's too funny.
Okay, this number's not working. I'm sorry, person in Montebello.
Oh.
Should we hit another one?
Someone else?
Yeah. Do we have a backup phone number?
We do. Someone
dial it.
In Long Beach.
Oh, oh. LBC.
Oh. Long Beach.
Hard being Snoop D-O-double-G.
Somebody goes to Mark in the Morning, signs up, and gives us a phone number that doesn't work. You gotta
admire.
Don't
you know who our listeners are?
Oh, wow. Well.
Totally typical.
Her name is Jackie Delgado.
Okay, sorry, guys. Sorry. It's coming along.
Ringing.
It's coming along.
I've already forgotten what the password is.
That happens to me every single day.
Ringing.
If you're in Long Beach and your phone's ringing.
Oh, my God. We got their answering machine.
Oh.
Well.
Shame on you.
Leave them a message.
No, don't.
I'm not
going
to leave a
message. All right, quickly, Jackie, dial one more.
Okay.
And then we'll call it.
Okay.
We have to give the tickets away or no one's going to be at your party.
It's Cyber Monday, people.
Oh, that's right.
They're all on Amazon.com.
I've got a report on Black Friday. We were going to talk about it. Black Friday is over.
Yeah. Everyone's gotten wise.
It's ringing.
No, Tink.
Tink is having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
San Clemente, answer your phones.
Wow.
There are so many pissed off people right now
Hi,
who are ready.
May I speak to Amy?
Thank God.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, is this Amy? Hi, this is Jackie calling from Mark in the Morning. Can I put you on the radio? Okay, here she goes.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Mark. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Thank you for you other stupid people for not picking up the phone.
All right, Amy, waste time. We need to hear you say what the password is.
The password is history.
Yay! And use it. Yeah! Use it in a sentence.
I've been watching you or listening to you for years. It's history. I'm sorry. It's early. I haven't had my coffee.
It's okay. You already got the tickets.
Amy,
we take them away for that.
You and three friends or family members are going to come December 8th to help me celebrate 60 years of life. Who are you going to bring?
Well, my husband of 40 years.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm a year older than you, Mark, but I've been wanting to go to Disneyland because we've been talking about it for a whole year.
Well, congratulations, Amy, because you will be there with me to celebrate 60 years of not only my life, but Disneyland.
Thank you so much, all of you. Thank you.
Oh, all right. I'm going to cry.
Aww. Are you really going to cry? Do it. That'd be good promo. Amy, thank you. We'll see you at Disneyland.
All righty. Thank you.
Oh, she's nice. Crying. I like her. She cries as much as me.
Nobody cries as much as you, Katie.
That's true. That's true.
Well, congratulations to Amy. We'll call somebody else at 8 o'clock. More calls at 11, 2, 5, and 7 today. Find out everything you need to know by texting PARTY to the number 21003. Standard messaging rates apply. That is PARTY to the number 21003. The next password is tomorrow at 7. Right now, we're going to roll some stones, man. On This Day in History is coming up, Itty Bitty Theater, and You Hate to Hear It. All of that is this hour on Mark in the Morning. Mick and the boys, stones! Stones!
Oh my gosh!
So, Gina has a list of the names of people that are the most generous. If this is your name, then you are a generous person. And then a list of the not so generous.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of you made the list. I will not tell you which one until it is time to reveal it. Are you ready?
Nice. Yes.
Oh, all right. So the most generous men, top 10. And the first one, I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised. Daniel.
Wow.
There yeah. Most Danny, generous.
Danny
He's number 10.
He hasn't given a single dime to any kind of charity in his frickin' life.
It's true. He wants to help the rich. He's
yeah,
the
he privileged. Wants to help the overprivileged.
What about the privilege?
And all the dogs.
Forgotten.
All right, then we get Richard, James, Michael, John, Chris. Now we have a three trifecta. Are you ready for 4, 3, and 2?
Yeah.
Andrew. Mark.
What?
Wow.
And David, a.k.a. Wow. David Beeson.
How about that?
Yes, Paul is the number one most generous name for men. Most generous name for women, Emma, Charlotte, Katie.
Thank God.
Amanda, Nicola, Jane, Sarah, Julie, Karen, and Rebecca. Gina did not make the list. Now, least generous men, this is interesting. Our own Peter, a.k.a. Peter Burton, made the list for number 9. Least generous men. So we have Simon, Peter, Robert, Matthew, Ian, Martin, Stephen, Ben, Lee, and Adam. You're all jerks. At least generous women, I will give you 9 through 1 actually first. Kim, Haley, Anne, Heather, Carrie, Janet, Jillian, Diane, Patricia, and number 10 on the list of least generous women. Oh, it's Jackie.
That's bullshit. Just kidding.
Jackie's a skinflint. Who knew?
That's so generous.
So everyone but me and Mikey made the list. Oh, well, Mikey made it as a Michael. Everyone but me made the list.
Too frickin' funny.
Yep.
Well, we talked about it earlier. Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant announced yesterday that this season is his last.
A decision like this, you can't make that decision based on, you know, outside circumstances. I mean, it has to be an internal decision. And finally, I just had to just accept the fact that I don't want to do this anymore. You know, and I'm okay with that.
Wow.
Mm. Huh. Gina, I think this hits you hardest of anybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Danny could care less, but I've been crying into my pillow all night.
I wish she could say what she's been saying.
Hey, guys, remember the time? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Finish that thought, Gina. Come on.
All right. We're going to do some business. When we come back, basically, the concept of Black Friday is over. Today is Cyber Monday. That's where you want to be. I'll give full details in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. Well, if you didn't want to brave the crowd shopping on Black Friday, you weren't alone. Sales at brick-and-mortar stores dropped this year on both Thanksgiving and Black Friday as more folks decided to shop for bargains online. Thanksgiving Day, sales dipped to an all-time low. While physical sales were down, online sales are up 14% on Black Friday. And that increase comes as a lead-in to today, which is Cyber Monday, which is expected to be the biggest day of online sales of the year and possibly in history. So, look, the day
of getting up at 3 and standing in line waiting for a store to open at 5 so that you can get the specials. It's just over. It's no longer a thing.
Well, you'd think that until you get the montage of all the shops, and I think most of them were in Louisville, Kentucky for some reason, of people just go spearing displays of TVs and ripping stuff out of each other's hands. And I'm like, people still do that?
Mm-hmm. You know, look, I see that people get addicted to it. They love the standing in line and the fun and the getting up. But as far as if you're actually doing it to get sales,
yeah,
the sales are online.
Well, I heard somebody was saying on the radio or somewhere, they were saying that the day of brick and mortar being the place where people go for everything is over, and that every sale, even in brick and mortar stores, is going to be affected by digital somehow. Mm. I mean, we're now in a time where the people buying stuff know more than the people in the stores selling
it. Yeah, true. And it's scary because it's going to put a lot of people out of work.
I do all my shopping online. The only time I'll go to a store is when Linda makes me go to Nordstrom to buy clothes.
Yesterday.
And I'll tell her, you've got 1 hour. I'll put on anything you tell me. And so you get 1 hour. And yesterday, it was an hour down to the minute.
Yeah, nice. But then she came home and she did a fashion show of all of the clothes that you picked out for her, which she was like, your dad's so funny. He picked out these 3 coats. He loves them.
They look fantastic, though.
So then you're shopping. Quit complaining.
I was there.
You're fine. Finding little joys.
Shut your mouth, Katie.
He had rocks to throw in Nordstrom.
on the other side of the chain gang, I'm sorry, the Pretenders. I've got On This Day in History. Pretenders on Mark in the Morning.
History.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
Happy birthday, happy 70th birthday to Deep Purple bassist Roger Glover. This is a song I had never heard. It's called Perfect Strangers. Roger tells the roots of Perfect Strangers here.
Perfect Strangers is a riff we had for a long time. It's Richie's riff. It was one of those riffs that we loved playing, but we didn't know where it was going to go. We couldn't write a song over it. Until the reunion, when we started jamming, Richie came up with a few chords, and Richie's got this knack of doing things that you don't quite expect. Well, Perfect Strangers is one of those things. It's an arrangement that is completely original. It doesn't sound like any other song. It's unique. And to have been part of a unique song like that makes me feel really proud.
It was on this day in 2007, Montel Williams goes ballistic on a student intern at the Savannah Morning News, telling her, quote, "Do you know who I am? I'm a big star.
Wow.
I can look you up, find where you live, and blow you up." Can you imagine? Good
wow.
God.
If you have to tell someone you're a big star, by the way.
That's what Mark said when I first met him.
It was on this day in 1993, Bad Company's debut album is certified 5 times platinum.
Company.
It was on this day back in 1971, ABC first airs the memorable made-for-TV movie Brian Song.
I love Brian Piccolo. And I'd like all of you to love him, too.
Happy birthday to the great director Ridley Scott. He is 78 today. The man received 3 Best Director Oscar nominations for Black Hawk Down, Thelma and Louise, Blade Runner, Alien, and Gladiator.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
As Andy told us in the capsule, it was on this day back in 1929, Dick Clark was born.
We're going hopping today, where things are popping.
Man, I realize you guys were too young, but in my house, American Bandstand on Saturday morning was an absolute must.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. See what how people were dancing with their,
It was on this day back in 1835, Mark Twain was born. And it was sadly on this day back in 2013, speeding to a charity event in California, Paul Walker, the star of Fast and Furious movie franchise, died in a one-car crash. He was 40. Evel Knievel, the daredevil motorcyclist whose stunts made him a pop celebrity, passed away in Florida at the age of 69.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly...
Help me here. 30 years old, Kaylee Cuoco. Well, if you're going to have a weird last name like that, expect people to butcher it. Bo Jackson, 53 years of age today. And... Mandy Patinkin is 63.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Zoolander star Ben Stiller is 50 today.
Wow.
Is that one of those for you, Gina?
That is a huge one. Are you serious?
Yeah, he's yeah.
My God, I had no idea.
Well, check this out. Turning 60 is Billy Idol.
Nice.
Me and Billy. Yeah. All right, I got some pretty good stuff coming up. The number one sign that you are in a serious relationship, and I think you'll all agree with what that is. And we have hangover cures, plus Itty Bitty is 10 minutes away. Let me get a little Billy first. Give it to me.
Hey, little sister, what have you done?
When we come back, I've got the toys, the biggest toys in history that caused a craze at Christmas time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And I, for one, was in the middle of it, and I will not forgive these people.
You cut a man for a Cabbage Patch doll, didn't you?
Good God.
My mom did.
That list is in 5 minutes. Remain where you are. This is Markin' the Morning.
Toyland.
Oh, Doris. Oh, dude, I perved on her.
Okay.
I mean, I did. She was the girl next door crap,
oh, yeah.
But God, I would have climbed her like a freaking ladder.
Okie dokie. Mm.
All right, here we go. Toys that have caused a holiday craze. It's the top 10.
Okay.
Number 10, Mr. Potato Head.
Wow, what year is that?
God.
When it first came out, you couldn't get it.
Was it late 60s when it first came out?
Yeah.
And when his eyes and stuff come out, you just open the back pouch and you stuff them all. Oh, I had so many of those.
But Katie, look, here's the thing. When I was a kid, you actually used a real potato.
Yeah. No, you didn't.
Oh, sure.
Are you just feeding me stuff because you know that I'll believe it?
I'm telling you, and because I had it. So you would stick them in the real potato, and then you're bored with it, and you take the pieces out and put it back in the box. And then the next time you go to do it, the box stinks like rotten food.
That's amazing.
This is a lot to learn after finding out yesterday you were alive before video games existed.
Number nine. Number nine, Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So creepy.
Number eight, Beanie Babies.
Oh, God. Remember those?
Wow. I still have a whole case of them in my closet.
Number seven, Transformers action figures. Dude, I was in the middle of that one.
Yeah?
I'm telling you, you go to the black market, you'll take a life. Because your kid wants this on Christmas morning, and you do what you got to. Next, Furbies.
Oh, yep.
So creepy.
Those were so creepy with the eyes and the Furby, and they wake up.
This one's recent. The Frozen Elsa doll.
Oh, I can imagine.
Really?
Next, Zuzu Pets.
What's that?
Zuzu
what
Pets?
That?
I don't know.
It's the name sounds like Zuzu's Petals from It's a Wonderful Life.
Or Izuzu Pets?
Zuzu Pets?
Number three, and I challenge you to do this today. Go Google on YouTube. Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, God. It's
Can you
creepy.
And I be friends?
Yeah. It's
just, you know what every kid did back in the day is put in Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne, and let Teddy Ruxpin sing along. Because you could put in any cassette tape you wanted.
These are Christmas toys that caused a craze. Number two, Nintendo Wii.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a big one. Any guesses on number one?
I'm going to say number one is Cabbage Patch Doll.
Yeah.
It is number frickin' one.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, Mark.
Yep.
Ask me how many Cabbage Patch Kids I have at my house in Kansas.
How many Cabbage Patch Kids do you have?
13.
I'm coming over. I'm coming over. I am coming over.
Let's find out what's true.
Here's Gina Grett.
And my mom went all over town to find the corn silk hair, and she couldn't. Poor thing. All right. Well, the entire University of Chicago is shut down the campus through at least today after the FBI discovered an online threat of gun violence. Adele did it. Her album 25 sold a record-shattering 3.38 million copies.
That's almost a million over the record.
Yes, in the United States through its first week. And here's what's trending in sports. The Kings beat the Chicago Blackhawks at Staples Center Saturday night 3-2. I was there and it was awesome. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Itty Bitty Theater. But first, a little AC/DC. This is Mark in the Morning.
It is time now for Itty Bitty Theater.
Oh, yes. Good morning and welcome to Itty Bitty Theater. I'm your host, Jonathan Turkeyhole. Our moment from the boards today is presented to us by Douglas Van Gelder. Today's theatrical enlightenment is brought to you by a weatherman on KTLA who is duped into giving a fake anniversary name.
Christy and Joe Horton, 9th anniversary, and Hugh Janus, turning 10. We'd mentioned...
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. It's one of those. It's one of those.
Oh, I totally fell for it, didn't I?
I think it was a trick.
I think you're right.
Name.
You're right. Oh my God.
The woman in today's story will be brought forth by Gina. The man from Texas is willfully summoned by the talent. Okay. We venture now into air travel with the offering of Thanksgiving turbulence. Enjoy, won't you?
It's dramatic.
Very.
An airplane carrying 120 people home from their Thanksgiving travels run into severe turbulence. Things went from bad to worse when lightning struck the wing of the airplane. One woman lost it completely. She stood up in front of the airplane and she said,
"I'm too young to die, but if I'm going to die, then I want my last minutes on this earth to be good ones. Is there any man on this plane who can make me feel like a woman?"
For a moment, there was silence. Everybody stared at the desperate woman standing alone at the front of the plane. Then, a man from Texas stood up at the rear of the plane. He was tall. He was handsome and well-built. Dark hair, hazel eyes. Slowly, he began to walk up the aisle, unbuttoning his shirt as he walked. One button at a time. No one moved. He removed his shirt, muscles ripped across his manly chest. The woman gasped at his good looks as he stood before her. She swooned and said,
"Are you going to make me feel like a woman?"
The man flashed a pearly white smile of beautiful teeth. He then hands his shirt to the woman and says,
"Yeah, here, iron this and then go get me a beer."
You see, he's from Texas. Iron this and get me a beer. It's too good. Just too good. Join us again next time, won't you, for Itty Bitty Theater. I'm your host, Jonathan Turkeyhole. Have a good day.
It's too good. It's too good.
Oh, it is satisfying, isn't it?
It is.
I don't think anybody enjoyed it as much as Katie did.
I actually paid attention this time.
It makes a huge difference, doesn't
it? It does.
If you listen to the whole story, the joke makes sense.
So on the other side of Jackson Brown, girl, Holly Holm, huh?
No.
My business. Oh, business. I'm sorry, my bad. On the other side of business, this girl, Holly Holm, that just beat Ronda Rousey.
Uh-huh.
She made an ass out of herself, and it's hysterical.
Uh-oh.
I'll give you details on that in 5 minutes. Plus, cure for hangovers, that's coming up, and John O'Hurley is our guest next hour. This is Mark in the Morning. It has been a crazy ride for Holly Holm since knocking out Ronda Rousey. So crazy that she asked Jay-Z's wife what her name was.
Oh my God.
What?
As in Beyonce. She asked Beyonce what her name was.
That's a power move.
She says, quote, I meet Jay-Z and he says, this is my wife. And I'm like, oh, hi, what's your name? Because that's what I do when I meet somebody's wife.
Say my name.
And as I'm shaking her hand, I'm thinking, why did I just say that? Why did I just say that to Beyonce? So then Jay-Z's asking me about the fight, and I can't even focus on what he's saying because I just put my foot in my mouth. And I literally interrupted him, and I'm like, I am really sorry. I go back to Beyonce, and I'm like, Beyonce, I can't believe I just did that. Fortunately, no bad blood was stirred. Beyonce told home that it was fine.
I would
love to see video of Beyonce's face.
Would her quote be like, did I just get big-timed by a boxer?
Do you think maybe she liked it, though? Because somebody asked her what her name was?
I think that she has met so many people since she knocked out Ronda Rousey. She wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
And she, because she clearly knows right. who it is.
Yeah.
But I think she was an autopilot.
Here's one awesome. Thing. You're pretty sure that nobody's going to fight you if you say something like that.
I would just love to see Beyonce's face. On the other side of Jackson Browne, I have got You Hate to Hear It and the number one sign that you are now involved in a serious relationship. And I think you'll all agree. But right now, my eyes. Take them. Doctor them. I'm proud of it.
Okay.
Are you?
It is time now for You Hate to Hear It.
Hold on. All right.
I don't think this is going to bother you.
Oh, okay.
But this is You Hate to Hear It. A suspected burglar who attempted to enter a California home through the chimney died on Saturday after the homeowner came home and lit a fire.
Oh, bad idea, jeans.
Without realizing anybody was inside of it.
Amen.
See, you should always check the flue to make sure there's not a human being in there.
You really should.
Rule number one.
The man appeared to have climbed into the chimney during the night while the owner was away and became stuck. After the owner lit the fire in the fireplace, he heard a man yelling inside the chimney as the house filled with smoke. The homeowner tried to extinguish the flames, but firefighters who dismantled the chimney during the rescue found the suspect dead inside of it. Here's my favorite line of this whole story. The deceased man's cause of death has not yet been determined.
I'm sorry, what?
Right.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm thinking. What if he died from inhaling smoke? The flames never got to him. Maybe he didn't get charred. Maybe he died because he was breathing. That's what I would hope.
Could be.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a smart point.
See, here's the thing. I'd just be angry. You're going to take apart my chimney on top of it? God.
All I wanted to do was warm my family.
I wanted to roast some chestnuts. Instead, I roasted chestnuts.
Dating is a game that grown-ups play.
Date means acting in a silly way.
Well, if you want to know the number one sign that you are in a serious relationship, it is this. And this is not... Take a guess. What do you think it is?
I love you?
No.
Okay.
Well, in my case, I would say having their entire family over to your house for Thanksgiving.
I would say if they give you a key to their place.
Ooh, I'm going to say a toothbrush over at the other house.
Marriage talk.
Anyone?
Okay, no all of your guesses are physical. This is not a physical thing.
Oh.
Mm.
It is when you talk and share your serious issues.
Oh, God.
According to the British survey, 50% of couples say that sharing their problems is the biggest indicator that things are serious.
Yeah, but Gina shares her personal problems with transients on the street.
I was just going to say, does that mean I'm dating all of you?
Yeah, like what about friends? I tell my friends everything. Am I right. in a serious relationship with them?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean, look, it is just like a friendship in that the more that you share, the more that you get to know this person, the more that the
You're
longer
bonded.
Time that you are in a... Yeah. You go to them and say, I'm experiencing this. Here's what's going on with me. Mm. That's a close, close friend.
Do you agree, Mark?
I completely agree.
So the moment somebody does that, you should pull up stakes and
get
boogie out town.
Yeah.
Because look,
Linda and I have been together 34 years. There's nothing about me that she doesn't know. And I'm a pretty wacky, weird dude. She's still here.
Right.
She knows all my crap.
What does it say about her?
She's still here. Yeah, exactly. She knows that she could never do better than me.
Wow. Dad, I don't think that's
probably laughing so hard right now.
Poor Linda.
All right, people, let's give away some tickets.
To what? Oh, Katie. Jeez.
I don't think you're in this one.
I'm not.
Everybody got their script?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We pause for station identification. This is Mark in the Morning.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Want to come to my 60th birthday party at Disneyland Resort on December the 8th? Of course you do, because the holidays really sparkle during Disneyland Resort's Diamond Celebration. You'll get to enjoy both parks all day, and then, when everybody else leaves, we crank up the party. Danny, fly in Tinkerbell. Let's see who we're going to call. Tinkerbell is the official Mark in the Morning helicopter with the envelope containing the phone number. Good flying, Danny.
She's not flying.
Make a sound like Tinkerbell.
Hold on.
There we go.
And if you've given us your phone number on markinthemorning.com, we may be calling you. I told everybody the password at 7 o'clock. Let's find out to see if you were listening.
All right. I'm calling someone in Ventura, and it's ringing.
Okay.
Andy,
you have a line.
Hey, I have another line in today's 8 a.m. script. That's 3 days in a row.
Oh, God.
Still ringing.
Ringing.
Ringing. Where is this, Jackie?
Ventura.
Right. Ooh. I love Ventura.
It's lovely this time of year.
We're waiting to see if somebody's
going to... Oh, my God. I got a voicemail.
Loser.
Right, idiot.
We call three people. You people, we do this at 7 and 8. If you signed up, you need to be listening and you need to know the password, and you can only get that at 7 o'clock. All of our Mark in the Morning listeners are eligible anywhere in California. We'll call somebody else at 11. More calls at 2, 5, and 7 p.m. today. The next super secret password is tomorrow at 7 on Mark in the Morning. There's a lot happening in sports. We've got Todd to tell us about it on the other side of Cheap Trick. Right now, I want you to want me. This is Mark in the Morning.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Todd Donahoe Sports is brought to you by our friends and buddies at Frontier Toyota. Todd, Kobe Bryant has said he is wrapping it up.
Mark, he was born on August 23rd, 1978. His name, Kobe Bean Bryant. Kobe, after the Japanese beef, and Bean, after his dad's nickname. His nickname was Jelly Bean. Now, who thought that he was going to be this incredible basketball player coming out of Lower Merion High School in Philadelphia at only age 17? Certainly, it wasn't the Charlotte Hornets. They drafted him and then traded him to the Lakers for Vlade Divac. Well, Jerry West saw something in him, and then everybody else saw what Jerry saw for the next 20 years. 20 years with the Lakers, that's a record. No player's ever had 20 seasons with one team, and he did that. He's third on the all-time NBA scoring list, youngest player ever to get to 30,000 points, five-time winner in the NBA, two-time NBA Finals champion. He was the youngest slam dunk contest winner. He was the MVP in 2008. Record after record, year after year, he won two gold medals as part of the Olympic basketball team. But bottom line is, when you think of Kobe Bryant, you think of one thing, and it's kind of an unofficial record, but I'm pretty sure he holds it. What player would you want with the ball in his hands in the closing seconds of a big game where you needed the winning shot? And the answer to that question was Kobe Bryant. And that's why he is remembered as one of the greatest basketball players ever to play in the NBA.
And only one major scandal.
And only one major scandal.
Pretty big one.
Hey, and a $4 million ring got him out of that. Okay, yep. That $4 million ring got him out of that.
Danny's pissed.
Yeah, Todd, I wasn't going to interrupt, but you're saying the one thing you want. What do you think of when you think of Kobe Bryant?
Ball in his hands.
I was thinking about what Andy just brought up.
No, it's ball in his hands in the final seconds. For instance, last night against Indiana, Kobe was 6 seconds left, and they needed a tying three-pointer, and he took the shot. And it was an air ball, and the Lakers lost 107-103.
Yeah!
So the Lakers are 2-14 on the season. And here's the sad thing. I mean, you remember all the great things Kobe is and Kobe has done. But look, this season now, the Los Angeles Lakers season is nothing more than a farewell tour for Kobe Bryant. They're losing games. Last night he was 4 of 20. He's shooting 30% from the floor on the season. So it's like, Kobe, take your 66-game curtain call. And then the Lakers have to get back to rebuilding because it's hard to rebuild when Kobe Bryant gets as many minutes as he does on the floor. So, real quick, let's move on. The Clippers lost to Minnesota 107-99. I should say the Clippers won. They beat Minnesota 107-99, and we'll be giving away Clippers tickets in just a bit. Okay, here we go. NFL, number of quarterbacks to come from 14 points down to beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots since 2001. The list is 2. Peyton Manning in 2009 and Brock Osweiler last night as Denver beats New England 30-24. You have to wonder, has Peyton Manning taken his last snap in the NFL?
Brock Osweiler looks like he's for real, man. That foot of Peyton Manning is going to heal really slowly this season.
And Todd, the other controversy is in Indianapolis. You've got Matt Hasselbeck, who's playing very well, and then Andrew Luck gets ready to play.
They're 2-5 with Andrew Luck, 4-0 with Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah. Do you stay with Matt? I mean, you stay with the hot hand, I would think.
I would think they'll go back to Andrew Luck because he is the franchise quarterback. But Peyton Manning's at the end, so I think you stay with Brock Osweiler. By the way, Carolina now the only unbeaten team in the NFL. They've already clinched the NFC South. Kansas City has won 5 in a row. They're the best 6-5 team in football. They beat Buffalo 30-22. And here's my prediction. Chip Kelly will be the next coach of the Tennessee Titans. Why? They have a quarterback named Marcus Mariota. He recruited him to Tennessee. He'll leave Philadelphia. He will go to Tennessee. Why do I think that? Because he's not going to be going to USC, because USC today named Clay Helton as their permanent head coach, okay? He's the permanent head coach. He was interim, but now that USC's taking on Stanford in the Pac-12 championship game this weekend, Clay Helton is the new guy in USC, full-time, I should say. By the way, the teams for the college football final, basically we're down to 5 teams: Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and the winner of Iowa, Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game. And remember last week, Mark, I said, because it's rivalry weekend, I'm going to take the underdog and the points in every single game. And yep. I said, I wanted to see how that works out. I went 0-6. The favorite won and covered in every one of the rivalry games we picked last week. So anyway, that's it in sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota. Hey, don't wait. Get down to Frontier Toyota today. Bob Corse and Joe Case are waiting to hear from you. Mention the sound and see what Frontier Toyota will do for you. We'll give away Clipper tickets in just a bit.
In 5 minutes, Todd's got basic trivia. You want to go to a Clippers game? 888-696-1003. That's in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. And now, Todd is going to share basic trivia with you. Jackie, you're going to run the phones. First person to answer his trivia question correctly will win a pair to see the Los Angeles Clippers. All right, Todd, we've got Thomas from Pomona. Good morning, Thomas.
Hello,
yes. Thomas. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Really good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I just happy to get in.
Well, good luck. Here's your trivia question.
Here you go, Thomas. All right, simple question. Answer the question. Just answer the question.
Okay? Wow, bring it on.
All right, what city were the Clippers in before they moved to Los Angeles to call L.A. their home?
San Diego.
You are correct. Very good. Give him the tickets. And Gina, tell him what he's won.
Well, Todd, he won a pair of tickets to see the LA Clippers versus Orlando Magic Saturday, December 5th. Black Friday ends tonight at 11:59 p.m. No sales tax, no service fees on single game tickets. Go to www.clippers.com/Black Friday. Please say LA Clippers in... L.A. Clippers!
Yay! L.A. Clippers!
Yay! Sounds like she lost some of her copy.
Wow.
Some are stage directions.
All right. Well, we have one more pair of Clippers tickets. We're going to give that to the 20th caller. 888-696-1003.
Read this in a Scottish accent. Wait, what?
Drop page.
All right, so if you want Clippers tickets, 20th caller to Jackie, 888-696-1003. Here's the Doobie Brothers. And on the other side, we got John O'Hurley in the room. Here's Doobies on Mark in the Morning. Now, John O'Hurley joins us in the room. He's got a play at the Pasadena Playhouse that we're going to be talking about. Looks like one for the kids. But right now, let's learn about John. John, I'm going to ask you the island questions, and this gives us a chance to really get to know you. By the way, welcome into the program.
Thank you. Right now, I'm just listening to the music.
All right,
slapping
so you're
gonna go... 15 SPF on my body.
You're going to go live the rest of your life on an exotic island. You can take one kind of candy bar to eat for the rest of your life. What candy bar will that be?
Three Musketeers.
Ooh.
No hesitation.
No, went right to it. Yeah. Number one answer we get is Snickers. You're going to take one kind of food that you'll eat the rest of your life. What will it be?
Well, I like two, so it's going in one. Spaghetti with lobster.
Oh.
Never heard of that. First time we've had that answer. You can take one album. What will it be?
Dire Straits.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
You can take one movie.
Dead Poets Society.
Ooh.
A lot of new answers today.
Good
I like
poll,
this.
Yeah.
I'd be really joyful on an island, wouldn't I be? after the second night of Dead Poets Society, I would walk into the ocean, I'm sure.
Oh, Captain, my Captain!
But do you know, I saw it the one time, it blew me away. It's time for me to re-see film.
Good. It's really a classic film, Robin Williams at his best, and I think the kids in that film are just extraordinary.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, for conversation's sake, dead or alive, and obviously on their own, they'll be alive. For conversation, who would you bring on the island with you?
You wouldn't know him, but he's a British writer named G.K. Chesterton.
Oh.
Essayist. Very funny.
It's fun to say.
Chesterton.
Chesterton.
Everybody on three, say Chesterton.
Chesterton.
One, two, three.
Yes.
Chesterton.
Chesterton. Now let's try it again, but breathe in and lift your Chesterton.
All right, for sexual satisfaction, dead or alive, you can bring anybody back for sexual gratification. Who will you bring to the island with you?
G.K. Chesterton.
Three Musketeers.
Spaghetti Gosh. Lobster. Jackie.
They're just all this stuff, but it just... Lena Olin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Google that.
Lena Olin. Yeah. She did, what was that film she did years ago? And she was about the sexiest thing alive.
Oh, she's hot.
Yeah, yeah, but, and has aged beautifully as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with her big film back, about 20 years ago.
The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Unbearable Lightness of Being. She
Love
was
story.
The most, no, she, Unbearable Lightness of Being, she was about the most sexual thing I've
Ooh.
Ever seen.
Ooh.
Wow.
Now, all
right. And I've never seen the film. Looks like I'm in for a
Swedish.
Movie watching.
It is, I'll tell you.
John O'Hurley is in the room. We're going to find out this play that he's doing in moments. Plus, we have the perfect cure for a hangover. We will discuss it all. Back with more John in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning.
Come on, everybody. Here we go.
Joining us in the room is John O'Hurley. John is in a play at the Pasadena Playhouse, and this might be a stop for you if you've got kids and you're looking for some fun Christmas. The play is Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, A Pirate's Christmas. John, it is a kid's play, right?
It is a kid's musical, and not only a kid's musical, this is a thing called the British Pantomime, which takes a wonderful story like Peter Pan, combines it with contemporary music and choreography, and creates a musical, spectacular performance like you've never seen. It's called the British Pantomime, so everything is a little bit over the top, and for kids, it's maybe the best thing they'll ever go to.
I've got a five-year-old kid who loves Peter Pan.
There you go.
And they will love the recognize the music in the show.
Wow.
And all of the kids, I mean, they're doing choreography with hoverboards on stage. It is absolutely jaw-dropping. I've never seen anything like this. Anything like this.
What is your part? What are you doing?
I am Captain Hook.
I hope so. I was hoping so.
Yes, and get this.
Peterman is Captain Hook.
There's going to be photo opportunities with Santa. Holiday crafts and activities. You just simply go to PasadenaPlayhouse.org. John, we will continue talking about that because that sounds like a lot of fun. Mm. Right now, let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grad.
Well, singer Sinead O'Connor is receiving some medical treatment after ODing in an Ireland hotel room. According to her Facebook post, she did this over the heartbreak of not being able to see some of her children. Reese's Candy has really screwed up this holiday season with the release of its peanut butter Christmas tree. You seen this yet? Mm-mm. Looks like a giant piece of poop. We'll put it up on Facebook page, Mark in the Morning. It is really sad, and the company has apologized. And here's what's trending.
You want that on your desert island?
As we mentioned earlier, Kobe Bryant is retiring from basketball after this season. One reason he cited is that when he meditates, his mind no longer stays on basketball. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, more with Mr. John O'Hurley. But first, a little Tom Petty. This is Mark in the Morning.
In the category of which one are you? There's three. Listen carefully. Category number one, you spend 10 minutes putting up a fake pre-lit tree and then another 10 minutes throwing ornaments on it and you're done. Category two, you spend hours on a Christmas tree lot searching for the perfect tree. You then take it home and spend hours lovingly decorating it. Category number three, you march into the woods and cut down your own tree. They then make their own ornaments.
That sounds like John O'Hurley.
Can you imagine? For many years, I did number three. There's number four, which is you open your wallet, you fly your in-laws up from Phoenix to come live with you over the holidays.
Oh my God.
They put up the fake tree and spend 10 minutes decorating. You delegate. Authenticity is for the birds. We delegate.
It's become kind of unique. For many years, we had kind of a designer tree, and it wasn't personal. The tree that we have now, it, by the way, is fake and pre-lit. Mm-hmm. But the ornaments on that tree tell the story of their ornaments from when Linda and I were dating.
Oh, wow.
There are that I have an ornament on there that's 60 years old. It was on my tree when I was a kid. There's ornaments from when the kids were born. So it's a really personal Christmas tree. So we spend quite a bit of time decorating.
I've got the same thing you've got, Mark. A lot of personal things. It's ones from my childhood. And for the last like 5 years, Laura's insisted on, in keeping with our granola ways, renting a Christmas tree that's in a pot.
Yep.
But this has been
Andy's a hippie.
Varying degrees of success.
I'm sorry, I came late to the conversation. I heard pot.
Pot, yes. That's the only good part about it.
I was still thinking of the fake and pre-lit, which is the way my wife describes me.
They brought a nest of ants one time with the tree.
Oh, that's mighty nice of them.
So I look around and I've got ants all over the living room floor. I'm like, where'd this come? It's from the tree. So we're not bringing them back this year.
Jackie, what is your Christmas tree?
Real, regular, from
Home
Depot.
Oh, so you go get one at the lot?
Yeah, just from Home Depot. And, you know, they load it up and it's whatever. It smells good.
Do you guys spend a lot of time decorating it?
You know, it's more of my mom's thing. I think if I had my own place, then I'd be more into it. But I'm just at the age where I don't give a damn.
Merry Christmas, Jackie.
Yeah, just Merry Christmas.
Mark, aren't you going to ask me and Danny and Mikey?
Sure. Well, how long do you spend on your tree, Gina the Jew?
Oh, yeah, zero. No, I'm Jewish.
Well, this is going to be fun, John. Danny's got a Christmas tree for us this year. And so my three Jews, Gina, Jack, Mikey, and Danny, they're going to wear Christmas sweaters and they're going to decorate our tree for us.
Yeah. But what do you always
say? Isn't that considered bad juju? I'm sorry, is that juju? That's juju juju.
But Mark, it's like you always say, you'll put your Jews up against any Jews in the business.
And I mean that. I got the best Jews out there.
It's Chrismica.
John, obviously you have this wonderfully pronounced voice. Would you allow us to have fun with that?
Sure.
We've got something we'd like you to read.
Yes, all right.
And we'll make a decision as to what that's going to be and get that done. Now, okay. John O'Hurley
They've given me Clorox bottles, and I had to read the direction before, so I don't know that whatever reading material Perfect. You give me, I think I'll be okay with
it. Gross.
Now, John O'Hurley is in the room, and the reason is because he is starring as Captain Hook in Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, A Pirate's Christmas. This is for the kids. Santa's going to be down there for photo opportunities. There's holiday crafts and activities. Go to PasadenaPlayhouse.org. This play opens December 9th, and it runs through the 3rd. Now, listen to me. As a parent of three kids, we went to everything on ice. This is going to sell out. So if you know that you want to go, get to PasadenaPlayhouse.org and get your tickets.
Let me add one more thing real quick. These are all the kids from all the Disney shows that are in there as well. I mean, Sabrina Carpenter is there. We got the Corey Fokomanis is there from a Girl Meets World. If you're a big fan of Girl Meets World, we got three of the leads in that show there. All the other kids are all Disney kids as well. So the voices are great and the talent is spectacular.
This sounds like a really good production.
Blow away. Absolutely blow away. The voices on these kids.
How long is it running?
9th of December through January 3rd.
Okay.
And lots of performances.
I'm telling you, especially weekends, you need to get your tickets.
Yep.
You really do. Don't wait around.
We're doing three shows on Saturday.
Oy.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, honey.
Yep. That's the most I've ever done.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Can we talk about this later? My son is going to preschool right now. And he's in the car. He's making notes. I'm going to have to do this.
We'll slice off business. We'll get back and have some fun with John. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning. Joining us today is John O'Hurley. Mm-hmm. And John has, as you've noticed, one of the most pronounced voices in the business. And why is that, John? Did you work at that? Is there training involved in that?
Well, two reasons. I'll take your compliment and I embrace it. Thank you. I also think I trained my voice, and most actors do not. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you listen to them on stage, that you can't hear them.
Right.
They have to have a microphone. I don't need a microphone because I studied classically, vocally, as started off in
where
opera.
You speak to the back row.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly, and then but also my voice was the last one to change in high school.
I
had a little voice that was up here like this.
I was like 16 years old. And at that time, and you remember this, that back in the late 60s, the DJs were everything. It wasn't the groups, it was the DJs. And they owned the block. And so everything was like, you know, we'll be back in just a minute with every album ever recorded. You know, so there were these unbelievable voices that you heard because it was all about the sound.
Right.
Everybody, you know, you didn't have to imagine the person actually holding the microphone because it was just transistor radios.
Right.
You know, and so these voices had to carry everything. So I think I learned to mimic a lot of these voices back then. So I put a musicality into my voice. That I work with.
It has served you well.
Yeah, well, you know, so it's you work from your strength in this business. You otherwise, you just sound like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean like me? So we're going to have some fun with John. Danny, what are our choices?
We have the song by Big Sean. I don't.
Oh my God.
I can't say the word. And we also have a selection of erotica called Rope Gnosis, which I highlighted, I marked off.
Rope Gnosis?
Rope Gnosis, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
It's saying something that Danny's super into rap, and even he's hoping that Mr. O'Hurley picks the erotica.
I like the erotica, yeah.
Is it like hypnosis with rope?
Yeah.
Rope Gnosis? Yeah. Okay, just want to make sure I...
Do you have a preference, sir?
Let me just warm up my voice.
Okay.
Here come old Flat Top, he come grooving up slowly. He got choo-choo eyeballs. He won holy roller.
All right, so we are going to have some fun with John on the other side of Led Zeppelin. Right now, this is Dancing Days on Mark in the Morning. We have John O'Hurley in the room. Those of you would know him best, I guess, as Peterman from Seinfeld.
Jay Peterman, yeah.
Are you still recognized? I'm assuming you're swamped with that still.
40 times a day.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it up.
And do you hate it, or do you appreciate
it? No,
the
I don't. And I'll tell you why. No, I love it because it gave me a chance to really to kind of sculpt a character that, you know, from beginning to middle to end. And it had a wonderful arc to it. But also, the strange story is that a year after Seinfeld ended, I bought the J. Peterman Company. I own it now. No, true story. I own it with the real J. Peterman. Our holiday catalog just came out.
Oh my God.
That's hysterical.
If you go to jpeterman.com, I own the catalog with him now. Absolutely.
Oh my God. How many times have people ask you to read from the J. Peterman catalog, which is so poetically written?
It's written like a Hemingway story about an Oxford button. If you go to jpeterman.com, you will find the holiday catalog of all one-of-a-kind items that are, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
So that takes a lot of the sting out of people coming up to you on this.
I say, you know what? The brand is alive.
That's hysterical.
But then we'll be doing, I'll tell you one more quick tidbit here. We have our board meetings in New York City. So after the end of the board meeting, Peterman and I will walk down Madison Avenue to go to lunch together. And all of the cops will, you know, because it's Seinfeld City there in New York, the cops will roll down their windows and scream, "Hey, Peterman!" And they're not talking to him. Now, think about that. I have stolen this man's identity. And he will never get it back.
Now,
it's the greatest act of identity theft ever.
People that are in your position, you either embrace it or you don't. Who's the guy that was in Joey in Friends?
Matt LeBlanc.
Okay, Matt. He had to scream, "I'm not Joey!" Because people would call him Joey, and he freaked out about it. Okay.
Really? Yep,
we got stuff to do. John, with this wonderfully pronounced voice, is going to read some erotica with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John O'Hurley.
A reading from the book of Ropenosis. I shed my dress and my panties as if they burned me.
Shed.
Oh, God.
And while I did, I kept my eyes on his long, elegant fingers stroking the rope. He watched me as intently as I watched him, and it seemed he touched my skin instead of the rope. Or as if the rope and his hand already caressed me as soon they would. I was damp and dusted before he placed himself behind me. A length of soft rope cooler than the warm June air passed over the bare skin of my belly. I sighed and leaned back against him. He was shirtless, but still had his jeans on. And the contrasting textures of denim and furred skin, along with the texture of the rope, pushed away the day's petty concerns. "We are trying something new tonight," he purred in my ear. "We are going to get jiggy with it."
Wow.
Now, in fairness, that last part was mine.
You embellished that.
Thank you for gracing us with that.
I need to take my jacket off. Yeah. Oh, God.
And by the way, that's the way I do Captain Hook and Peter Pan. I take the children's element out of it as well.
We're going to play a rousing round of What's John Carrying. Oh. Now, John, we're going to go around the room based on what we've figured out about you, and we're going to try to guess exactly how much cash you have in your wallet. And then after everybody's guessed, please, if you would, take it out and count the money, and we'll see who won. Andrew, you're up first.
Now, this is euros or dollars?
American dollars.
American U.S. dollars on your person. I believe that that he is a man who likes to be prepared for any occasion, whether it's having the exact right shade of cable knit blazer, or having enough money in his pocket to buy a round of martinis at a local watering hole. I think that he has in his pocket, in cash, $409.
Wait, can I tell you guys something? That is the exact number I was going to guess.
That's a lie.
I swear to God.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
That's weird.
All right, I'm going to change my number.
Wow.
And that was because you were gazing at the long rope as I
was. All right, Katie. Renowned actor, how much cash do you think John is carrying?
$40.
By the way, this is closest without going over. Gina.
All right, I'm going to change. I swear. Andy, we have something special that you hadn't realized. all right, so I'm going to adjust my answer. I'm going to say that Mr. O'Hurley is also a man who likes to be prepared for anything and can peel off a couple of hundos if that's what's necessary. So I'm going to say $201.
Interesting. Jackie, what do you got?
Well, you just straight up look fancy. I'm going to say $356.
straight up look fancy.
You do look fancy.
Yeah.
Danny, you want some of this?
Yeah, I think he's got about $1,100, and he's going to go to Target, buy a new TV. Black Friday deal is still going on.
No, I'm just going to say, because Gina went where I am, but I'm going to, because I already had 200 in my mind. I do think that he is a man that needs enough cash that he can purchase most anything without whipping out the, so I'm going to say, without whipping out the cash. I didn't want to leave it there while whipping out. Sound dirty. So I'm just going to say flat out 200. John, would you please remove your wallet or your cash from your person and count it out?
All right. He's reached in, far I see a parking validation and a $1 bill. So let's see what else he's going to peel off.
As I count this off, I will remind you that I have a Black American Express. And so... me need no cash.
Oh, my God.
I have 20. I have 40. I have 60. I have 80. I have 90. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 95.
Oh, my God. No one wins.
Katie, she said $40.
$40.
Well, Katie got it.
She gets to keep your money. I don't know if we say that at the beginning.
And she can keep the card too if she spends less than I do.
All right, now before we get John out of here, John, here's something about John that you don't know. I love this. Tell everybody what you told us about the lake.
Oh, well, I have a place in Vermont, and I said to my wife once when we got married, I said, I'm going to do one selfish thing in my life, and after that, everything is all about you. I said, I want to buy my own lake, because I'm a fisherman, and I've worked so darn hard in my life, I just want one place that I can go where it's just mine. So we ended up buying our own lake. We have a beautiful lake about a mile long, about 300 acres in Vermont.
And you're the only one that fishes.
I'm the only one that fishes in it. And I was telling the story about trying to teach my 8-year-old son to fly fish. And I was out there trying to show him the motion back and forth, the 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, the 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And all of a sudden, on the backside of the dock, I hear this. And I turn around, a bass has jumped onto the dock, out of the water. I grabbed the rod out of his hands. I said, just forget about it. They just jump out of the water.
Now, John, before I promote the play again, I've had so much fun with you the two times that I've had you on this program. You are welcome in here for any reason. Gina's going to give you the hotline phone number. Thanks. If you're listening and you think of something funny, call us and say it. If you need to promote something, call us and say it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's fun to be with you guys.
Everybody write this down, because I'm telling you, if you don't do this today, you're going to wind up going to the black market to get tickets. John is starring in Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, A Pirate's Christmas. He plays Captain Hook. This is for the kids. This is a fantastic production of Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, A Pirate's Christmas. It runs December the 9th through January the 3rd. So if you're going to go, get your tickets now. You go to the PasadenaPlayhouse.org. And who are some of the folks joining you in this, John?
Oh, these are all a lot of the kids from the Disney specials there. You know them. Girl Meets World there. Sabrina Carpenter is there. Chrissy Fitt is there. Yeah, the kids know her very well. Corey Fogelmanis is there. Augie Maturo, he's also on Girl Meets World. And also the youngest kid that was ever on... American Idol there. Kevin Quinn Peter is playing Peter Pan.
Oh,
what a voice.
Wow.
I'll tell you. And that kid is one handsome kid, I'll tell you. Nikki Suhu is there also. She's a big performer too on a daytime.
It's like a who's who of Disney TV people.
Well, yeah, I mean, I look at these Twitter accounts that these kids have, and they've got each have 2 million followers. I don't know that there's going to be any room in Pasadena, never mind the Playhouse, to get close to them. It's going to be really something. And yes, we will have Santa there, all sorts of things for the kids. And then if you're a parent, it's there. We'll have a private number, and I'll read erotica to you over the phone.
John, thank you for the time. Good luck with the play.
Thank you. We're going to have a lot of fun out there. I can't wait.
On the other side, we're going to speak with Michael Palin of Monty Python. My son, Matthew, has some news to share from his Thanksgiving weekend. And Gina's got a list of the most generous people the names of people that are the most generous and the least generous. That's on the other side. Right now, we pause for station identification. This is Mark in the Morning. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Miss Gina Grant.
Well, a new anti-aging drug could have you live well into your 120s. Congratulations on that. Careful, East Coast kids. Hoverboards.
I don't want to live that
I know.
Long.
I was just thinking that, too. You know the hoverboards, by the way, the handlebarless Segways?
Right.
Well, they are now banned on the streets in New York City. And in adorable news, a scientist has uncovered the fossil of a dog-sized horned dinosaur that roamed eastern North America up to 100 million years ago. It's so cute. Oh, my God. You got to see the picture.
Hey, boy. Go get
Hey, and speaking of adorable, I saw this weekend. Katie showed it to me. You know those cones that dogs have to wear so they don't lick or bite?
The cone of shame.
The cat had climbed in his cone and fell asleep inside of it.
How aggravating for the dog. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Pat Benatar.
That wraps it for this Monday offering. We're tired, but it's a good kind of tired.
It is.
Uncle Joe is about to share the 10 at 10, Joe.
Here's what's upcoming. The same year that Laverne and Shirley debuted. Oh, my God. Can you think that far back?
1977.
Yeah, very close. 76, young man. 1976, we're featuring 10 at 10 today, supported by Pharmacology Research Institute. Struggling with ADHD? Call Pharmacology Research Institute for a research medication study at 888-PRI-HOPE.
Tomorrow's show, we have a guy very interesting, Adam Conover. Gina had him on the Adam Carolla podcast.
Yeah, he was great. He has a show called Adam Ruins Everything from College Humor and True TV, and he will annihilate all your hopes and dreams. Oh, You'll love it.
He can save Matt a lot of money on an engagement ring.
Yep, we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
I've got a round of Who Said It. I'll give you a quote. You tell us who said it, plus the Pro Football Slam with Sam.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.